I'm very humbled to be in the presence of all of you. I feel very, very small and very insignificant seeing so many great personalities on the call. You're all my inspiration, and you all gave me so much encouragement over the years. So I'll try to share something with you. Many of the things I share, I probably learned it from many of you. But it will be nice. This evening, we're discussing Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Karuna avatar, the incarnation who epitomizes mercy, compassion, and the spirit of giving. And that's such a wonderful spirit, and that's what we'll be talking about today. But before I begin, I'll just offer some prayers. As we seek the blessings of our teachers in this endeavor to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanda Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Today there will be no PowerPoint presentations, not so much organization. I will just try to speak on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I guess I will speak for something like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then we'll kind of open it up and have a discussion, have some questions and answers. I hope some of the things I say will strike a chord with you and maybe stimulate some thoughts and questions so we can all get a little bit closer to Krishna and understand a little bit more about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A great soul, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he compared the Supreme Lord to a mango. I don't know if you ever thought of the Supreme Lord as a mango, but he did. He compared Lord Ram. Lord Ram is known as the Maryada Purushottam, the Supreme Lord who shows the ideal example. He compared Lord Ram to an unripe mango. You may have seen an unripe mango is kind of greenish. So Lord Ram is sometimes greenish. So an unripe mango has all the ingredients of a mango. It's no less a mango. However, the sweetness doesn't fully come out. Because Lord Ram came to show the ideal example, he was the ideal husband, the ideal king, the ideal son. Sometimes, because he was ideal in every situation, sometimes the sweetness was not so forthcoming. Sometimes Ram seemed to do things which even some of us may feel, oh, that was banishing Sita at the end of that episode. Oh, that was hard to take. Lord Ram is the Supreme Lord, but he's like a green mango. Krishna, on the other hand, is Lila Purushottam. He's the Supreme Lord who displays unlimited pastimes. And sometimes Krishna's pastimes are so outrageous that Krishna is compared to a spoiled mango, a dark mango. A mango which sometimes does things which are unspeakable. Krishna steals the clothes of the gopis. He steals butter. Krishna breaks his word. Krishna sometimes seems to transgress moral and ethical principles. A mango, a transcendentally spoiled mango. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Prema Purushottam, the Supreme Lord who is the embodiment of love. Someone who is coming with a mood in which love is overflowing within them, and that love is overflowing so much that anyone who comes in the proximity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experiences that love. If Ram is an unripe mango, Krishna is a spoiled mango, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fully ripe mango. A mango which is brimming with juice, which is brimming with rasa, mellow. A mango which is overflowing with sweetness. And a mango which, you know, sometimes you try to eat a mango and the juice kind of goes all over your face. It's uncontrollable. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that. He is in the mood of giving, giving the nectar, giving the sweetness, giving the love, reaching out, magnanimity, Mahavadanyaya, the most magnanimous incarnation of God. And so this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, who is so much in the mood of giving. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains, E mata bhakta bhav koriyangikar, apani achari bhakti korila prachar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but he has accepted a bhava, an emotion, which no incarnation ever did before. He has accepted the bhakta bhava. He has come in the form of a devotee. Apani achari bhakti korila prachar. And by practicing bhakti himself, he teaches the whole world what spiritual life is about. He teaches the whole world that spiritual life is not about following rules and regulations. It's not just about being strict and austere and disciplined. It's not just about being moral and ethical. Beyond, above and beyond, above and way beyond all of that, spiritual life is about experiencing the deepest emotions of love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the mood to teach how to experience that love, that special energy which everyone so much seeks. If I was to ask you, what are the qualities of a great teacher? Maybe you can write some things on the chat. Then I know what you're expecting maybe from me today. What would you say are the qualities of a great teacher? Loving, compassionate, patient, humble. Thank you so much. I don't think I'm going to please you today. Inspiring, they practice what they preach. Caring, honesty. All of these beautiful thoughts are coming through. And you know what? One day we could just spend the whole day and we could go through every one, a single one of these qualities and show you how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embodies every single one. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered the most authoritative biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what some scholars call the final word. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is the final word. Theologically, philosophically, in any way, shape or form, there is nothing which goes beyond what the Chaitanya Charitamrita has to present to the world. And if you read that biography, And in that biography, Kaviraj Goswami explains so many instances in which each one of these things are described. One person once said to me what a teacher should be. And I took that as like an inspiration. The person said to me, a teacher should engage. A teacher should educate. A teacher should encourage. And the best teachers empower. He said, first, the teacher has to engage. He has to make people, or she has to make people want to learn. More than that, they have to actually educate. They have to actually be able to clearly communicate information that is essential for people. But more than that, the teacher also has to encourage. The teacher has to instill within the student the desire to live it, to follow it, to embrace it fully. But more than that, the best teachers, they don't just engage. They don't just educate. They don't just encourage, but ultimately they empower. They do something special by their interaction with their student, by which they transfer their energy to the student, and the student feels completely confident and empowered to do it. That is the best teacher. Chaitanya, who can be a better teacher than the Supreme Lord? So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the best teacher, the Supreme Lord coming as a teacher, he engages, he educates, he encourages, but most of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowers. The amazing opportunity is that each one of us have the opportunity to be empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Each one of us have the opportunity to be touched by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental energy, because he is overflowing and he is coming in a mood and a form in which he just wants to empower. He just wants to give. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many, many different followers, and each one of those followers, he empowered them in different ways. There was Jiva Goswami, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him with a great grasp of philosophy, such that Jiva Goswami became known as the Tattva Acharya, the teacher who knew all philosophical conclusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a follower, Rupa Goswami, and he empowered Rupa Goswami by imparting unto him the deepest secrets of transcendental relationship. And therefore, Rupa Goswami became known as the Rasa Acharya, the teacher who understood the depths of divine mellow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a follower, Haridas Thakur. And to Haridas Thakur, he empowered him with an incredible, unparalleled taste for chanting the holy names of Krishna. And therefore, Haridas Thakur became known as the Nama Acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a follower, Ramananda Rai, and he came to Ramananda Rai and he started asking Ramananda Rai different questions in search of what is the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Rai said, you're the Supreme Lord, why are you asking me? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to speak. And Ramananda Rai later on, he said, Gauranga, you are like the ocean and I'm like the cloud. The cloud ultimately just takes water from the ocean and then just showers it down again. So I just took all the energy from you and now I'm just giving it back to you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to empower. Now the question is, who is going to make themselves open to receive the divine empowerment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That is the crucial question on the table. Today, what I'm going to do in the short time we have is I'm going to try and share with you the story of how Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by the great saint Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. As we go through this story, we will begin to get some hints of what it means to be empowered by the Lord. If we open ourselves up in the right way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is within our hearts, will actually begin to empower and guide our life in a transcendental way in which perhaps we have never conceived of before. However, we must be open. And so let us, for the next minutes that are coming, try to remember how this great literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, was written. Kaviraj Goswami was a devotee, a great devotee of Gauranga and Nityananda. In his home, the deities were worshipped, Gauranga was glorified, he was immersed in chanting the holy names and devotional service. However, Kaviraj Goswami had a brother, and his brother was named Shyamdas. And Shyamdas, although he had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, he did not have the same faith in Lord Nityananda, Gauranga's brother, transcendental brother. There was also a family priest who was worshipping the deity. The family priest's name was Gunarnava Mishra. And Gunarnava Mishra had the same problem. He believed in Gauranga, but he didn't have the same type of faith in Nityananda. One day, a great devotee of Nityananda came to the home of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. That great devotee was Miniketana Ram. Miniketana Ram was someone who was absorbed in transcendental bliss. He was a follower of Nityananda, after all. Nityananda means one who's eternally blissful. So Miniketana Ram was just blissed out. He came to the home of Kaviraj Goswami. However, the priest, remember, the priest had great faith in Gauranga, but not Nityananda. And so when Miniketana Ram came, the priest did not receive him appropriately, did not receive him respectfully, did not receive him with the proper etiquette which was due to such an advanced spiritualist. Miniketana Ram left. He left angry, not because he was offended, but because he could understand that this person hasn't respected me because they don't respect Nityananda. And therefore Miniketana Ram thus left feeling very, very unhappy. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami found out that a great devotee had left his home unhappy, he was beside himself with anxiety. He was thinking, a great devotee has left my home unhappy. For this, my family and all the future generations will be ruined, because if we commit and insensitive acts towards those who are dear to the Supreme Lord, then it signifies spiritual doom. And so Kaviraj Goswami was besides himself with anxiety. He couldn't go to sleep that day. He was thinking, what will happen? My family is ruined. My future is ruined. Then in the middle of the night, in a dream, Nityananda, the object of worship of Miniketana Ram and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Nityananda came in his dream. Nityananda came in Kaviraj Goswami's dream, and what did he say? Are are Krishnadas nakaraha bhai, Vrindavana yahataha sarvala bhyahai. Nityananda said, Are are Krishna Das, oh my dear Krishna Das, nakaraha bhai, don't worry about anything. Don't worry one little bit. Vrindavana yaha taha sarva labhya hai. Now you leave everything behind. Now you renounce your home. Now you give up your family. And now you simply make your journey and go to Vrindavan. Sarva labhya hai. In Vrindavan, you will get everything. Well, I mean, that's something, you know, if you get like a dream one night and you just say like, leave it all behind and just go to Vrindavan. Maybe some of us want to have a dream like that. We maybe be happy, but it would be tough. It would be tough. Would you be able to just leave it all behind like that? If tomorrow there was a dream, are are, so and so, nakaraha bhai. Don't worry at all, Rajesh. Vrindavana yaha taha, just go to Vrindavan. There you'll get everything. Are you ready? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was ready. Sei kshane Vrindavana karimu gaman. Sei kshane, when he woke up the next morning, sei kshana means a moment. Sei kshane, within a moment, he just stood up, walked away, and went straight to Vrindavan. That is detachment. This is the first lesson, empowerment. If you want to become empowered by the Supreme Lord, you've got to be detached from your own plans. We have our plan. Krishna has his plan. We think our plan is good, but do we have the faith that Krishna's plan is the best? Sometimes in our life, Krishna seems to close up certain doors and we become very, very frustrated because it's just difficult to accept. However, when Krishna closes one door, Krishna opens up another three doors. But the only way we'll be able to see the new opportunities in our life is if we have the detachment to leave our plans behind and walk with Krishna's plans. The greatest devotees of Krishna are the most flexible devotees. The devotees who are willing to change, the devotees who are willing to adjust, the devotees who are willing to give up their ideas and embrace a higher idea. Srila Prabhupada was the example. He had to spread Krishna consciousness, but it wasn't happening in India. So he left and he went to America. In America, he came to Butler, Pennsylvania first. But in Butler, Pennsylvania, it wasn't working. So he left. He went to New York. In New York, he stayed at Dr. Mishra's yoga studio, but it wasn't working. So he left. He went to the Lower East Side, the lowest of the low, the Skid Row. He went to the Bowery. But in the Bowery, even there, it didn't work out. So Prabhupada left. And finally, he came to 26 Second Avenue, and there it worked. Prabhupada was willing to go with the plan of Krishna. He wasn't attached to any place. He wasn't attached to any plan. He was flexible. And one who is flexible opens them up, opens themselves up to receive the empowerment whereby Krishna will open up a whole new realm of opportunity. Krishnadas Kaviraj was detached. He went to Vrindavan. He arrived in Vrindavan. Now you have to try and picture in your mind Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami coming to Vrindavan, Krishna's own land. He had arrived in Vrindavan. He had no idea, what am I going to do here? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do all day? What's the purpose? Why didn't Nityananda even tell me to come here? He had no idea. He arrives in Vrindavan. Without going into the history of Vrindavan, Vrindavan went through many, many stages. When Krishna was present in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, it was a spiritual epicenter. Naturally, Krishna was there. But when Krishna left the world, Vrindavan became covered. And then later on, Krishna's great-grandson, he revived Vrindavan. But after hundreds of years, Vrindavan again became covered. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he revived Vrindavan again through his followers. And so Kaviraj Goswami came at this point in Vrindavan when it had just been revived by the Goswamis, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vrindavan was like it was a spiritual hub. It was like a powerful place. And in Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he arrived and the first place he went to was the temple of Govinda. Many of you may have been to Vrindavan, you may have seen the temple of Govindaji. So he went to the temple of Govinda. And there in the temple of Govinda, he saw many, many great devotees. And all the great devotees were there. And these were all very, very saintly personalities. They had no envy. They had no pride. Of one of the Vaishnavas there, it's mentioned. There was one great devotee there, Haridas Pandit. He's described by Kaviraj Goswami. Vaishnavera guna grahi nade kaya dosh, kaya mano vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. What was the quality of these spiritual personalities in the Govindaji temple? Vaishnavera guna grahi nade kaya dosh. They were so pure in their vision that they only ever saw the good qualities in others. They never saw any faults. They could not see faults, even if they tried. Kaya mano vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. With their words, mind, activities, they were simply trying to make others happy, make others satisfied. So Kaviraj Goswami arrives in Vrindavan and he's surrounded by all these saintly personalities. It's like a hall of fame of different types of saints, living saints. And what are all these saintly personalities doing in the Govindaji temple? They're all listening to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're just discussing. That's what they do all day. They're just discussing the pastimes of the Lord. What did he do when he was young? And then he grew up. And then what interaction did he have with this person? They were just discussing. They just had such a veracity for hearing. One sage, his name is Ugra Shrava. Sutta Goswami, you may have heard the name Sutta Goswami. He is known as Ugra Shrava. Ugra means voracious. And Shrava comes from Shravan, which means hearing. So the literal meaning of Sutta Goswami's name is one who was a voracious listener. It means he couldn't get enough. No matter how much spiritual knowledge you'd give him, spiritual harikatha, talks of the Krishna you'd give him, he'd never become satiated. Vayam tu navitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yatrinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. Because for them, the knowledge of the spirit was not dry knowledge. It was rasagyanam. The knowledge of the spiritual reality, the knowledge of the Supreme Lord was all dripping with sweetness. And therefore, svadu, svadu, pade, pade, every moment they were tasting it and relishing it and feeling great satisfaction. So Kaviraj Goswami arrives in Vrindavan and he's surrounded by all these different personalities. Now they could immediately detect that he was a very saintly person. And so they approached him. And they said, who are you? What are you doing here? So he explained his situation. Now Kaviraj Goswami, he was a Vaishnav. And a Vaishnav means always in the mood of service. His home was centered around service to Krishna. He always wanted to serve the devotees of Krishna. And when he came to Vrindavan, his meditation was, I've got to do some service for Krishna. So his whole meditation as he was arriving in Vrindavan is, how can I serve? This is another lesson in empowerment. If you want to be empowered, those who have a desire to serve open themselves up to be empowered by the Lord. If you have a desire to serve, you will always find opportunities to serve. If you don't want to serve, you'll always see problems why you can't serve. If you have a strong desire to serve devotees, then when you see devotees, you will see good qualities and you'll want to serve them. But if your desire is not to serve the devotees, then you will see loads of faults which justify why you shouldn't serve them. Our desire and our inner alignment of vision will determine what we see with these eyes. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami came to Vrindavan with a desire to serve. And so when the devotees could detect this, then they came to Kaviraj Goswami and they said, we know you have a desire to serve. Therefore, we have a request. What is the request? He said, we are voracious hearers of the talks of the Supreme Lord and the talks of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, we only have access to a limited range of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. We have access to the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now, the Chaitanya Bhagavat was a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was primarily dealing with the early pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they said, we want you to write another biography. And we want the biography that you write to be focused on the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was incredibly humble. He was thinking, who am I? Who am I to write about the pastimes of the Lord? I have no qualification. I'm just an insignificant person. He says in beautiful, humble Bengali verse, Murkha nichak shudra mui vishaya lalas Vaishnavagya bole kore eite kasahash. Describing himself, he says, Murkha, I'm a fool. Shudra, I'm low born. Vishaya lalas, and I'm constantly absorbed in sense gratification. He says, who am I? Who am I to write such a literature? However, he then says, Vaishnavagya bole kore eiteka sahash. Because the devotees of the Lord have asked me to do it, how can I say no? How can I deny them? How can I refuse? And herein lies the third secret to empowerment. The empowerment and the guidance for empowerment comes through the devotees of Krishna. So if you're able to hear the devotees, then you'll be able to hear Krishna. If you're able to accept and fully give your heart in confidence to a great devotee of Krishna, then through that via medium of a great devotee, all of Krishna's messages will come to you. And therefore, because Kaviraj Goswami had such reverence for these great devotees, he was willing to accept what they said. So he said, you want me? You want me to write the biography on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, if you order me, then I'll do it. And so here it was. Kaviraj Goswami, he's slowly, slowly realizing, oh my God, Nityananda, he came to me in the dream that time and told me to come here. Now it's all coming together why he wanted me to come here. And so Kaviraj Goswami went away and he began trying to put together the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He researched, he spoke to many great devotees, he heard many talks, and it wasn't easy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very, very old. He said, "My health is failing, my body is trembling, my limbs have practically become invalid. I'm losing my sight, I'm losing my memory, but still I'm trying to write." Here is another lesson in empowerment. If you want to be empowered by the Lord, you have to be ready to take on difficulty. You have to be determined. Kaviraj Goswami, it was not an easy task for him to perform this service of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. He embraced the difficulty. He took it on because his desire to serve was so great. And then we saw that because he took it on with such a pure desire, then the empowerment came to make it happen. So he began writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. He started writing and then he continued writing and then he wrote more and more and more. And eventually he wrote 11,500 verses in which he documented all the amazing things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revolutionized the world. What he was teaching, how he was teaching it, the culture he was teaching, the subtleties of how to practice spirituality in such a way that it will lead to higher elevated levels of consciousness, all of this was described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another significant point is that throughout this whole process in which Kaviraj Goswami became empowered to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very, very significant point is that he always remained dependent on Krishna. He never saw himself to be the doer. He never became proud. He never thought that I've done it by my ability. At the end of every single chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what does Kaviraj Goswami write? Shri Rupa Raghunath Padajare Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. He says, taking shelter of the lotus feet of my teachers, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, I, Krishna Das, try to narrate the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The moment we become proud, the moment we become egotistical, the moment we display signs of arrogance and vanity, at that point we lose our potency. And therefore, even when Brahma, Lord Brahma, is praying to get empowered in order to create the universe, he prays for empowerment, but then he also prays for humility. Because if there is no humility, one will not be able to hold the empowerment. In this way, what I've tried to do to you or try to do for you today is sketch in very brief how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the course of learning how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita and became empowered to do a task which was so elevated, there are certain lessons that we can learn which help us to understand that we have to follow in his footsteps if we want to become empowered. The very first lesson Kaviraj Goswami teaches us is you have to be detached. If you want to become what you can be, you have to be willing to give up who you are right now. If you want to experience the unlimited possibility of where Krishna can take you, you have to be willing to be detached from the plans that you may have made in your small mind. The first lesson in empowerment is we must be detached. The second lesson in empowerment is that empowerment is available for those who have a strong desire to serve. When we want to serve, when we want to make a contribution to people's lives, when we want to make a positive change in the world, and that desire to make a change is very strong, then one opens themselves up for empowerment. One will begin to see all the opportunities that the Supreme Lord is opening up for them so that they can do their task of service. Second lesson is have a desire to serve. Then you get empowered. Third lesson is if you want to see and understand and grasp the plan of empowerment that the Supreme Lord has for you, then you have to be connected to devotees. Because the plans and the empowerment and the guidance for that empowerment comes through the devotees. Because Kaviraj Goswami was conquered by the saintliness of these devotees, he was able to give his heart to them and listen to their guidance and fully embrace it. The question we have to ask ourselves is, have I been conquered by a Vaishnava? Has my heart been conquered by a Vaishnava? If you manage to have your heart conquered by a pure Vaishnava, then through that pure Vaishnava who you can surrender to, all the messages of Krishna's empowerment will come to you. So the third lesson is, empowerment only comes to those who are connected to a devotee. The fourth lesson is, in the process of empowerment, there will be difficulty. Difficulty is our way of showing our seriousness in doing something amazing for the world, in doing our seva, in doing our service. Kaviraj Goswami embraced the difficulty of his situation and never let it become an excuse of why he should not carry on. Are your difficulties going to become an excuse, or are they going to deepen your determination? That's the question. If they deepen your determination, you become more qualified for empowerment. That's the fourth lesson. And the final lesson is, Kaviraj Goswami was indeed empowered, but why was he able to hold the empowerment? Many people may get empowered, but they lose their empowerment because they lose the sense of dependence on the Lord. If you always remain humbly dependent on Krishna, then the empowerment will continue to flow and the empowerment will continue to expand within your entire being. And so, as we reflect on Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that the experience of the Lord in our life is very much possible because the Lord wants to give, the Lord wants to touch your heart, and the Lord wants to empower you in so many ways to achieve so many things. However, we have to be ready. We have to be open. And that means we have to be detached. We have to have desire. We have to be connected to devotees. We have to not become bewildered by difficulty. And ultimately, we have to always remain dependent. And this is the secret to empowerment. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give us. We simply have to receive it. So with those few thoughts, I will end my short little talk here. I believe there's some announcement. Is it Rasika Rai Prabhu? And then we take some questions. Will you be fielding the questions? To me as well, or Okay, so thank you very much. These are some thoughts on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and becoming empowered. I'll hand over to Rasika Rai Prabhu to take us to the next part of the program.
Jai. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to His Grace Sudha Prabhu for a very beautiful, beautiful meditation that sets us up very nicely as we start to prepare our hearts for Gaur Purnim. If you guys want to share your appreciation, don't unmute yourselves. Please, please don't. But if you can do lots of reactions and what have you and drown our chat with thank yous and appreciation, that would be very, very nice. Wonderful, wonderful. What a beautiful way to, begin our countdown. We have 3 weeks left until Gaur Purnim is on the 28th in exactly three weeks' time. So what a beautiful way to begin that. We've been taken on a journey and a deep insight into the life of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We've learned how he was empowered, and we're also beginning to see what it means for us to be empowered and how we can also hopefully follow in the footsteps of the author of the CC and become similarly empowered. So the Prabhu taught us that Lord Gauranga, he wants to touch our hearts. And in that spirit, we hope to reciprocate with this announcement that we're going to make. We also want to touch Lord Gauranga's heart, and Sacred Street Party, Pandava Sena's Sankirtan team, between now and Gaur Purnim, want to offer something for the pleasure of Lord Gauranga. We want to take part in Bhaktivedanta Book Trust's Be a Gardener campaign. That's an initiative that the BBT have put together, where we want to distribute as many sets of CC as possible. And like I mentioned earlier, Sacred Street Party want to offer 108 CC sets to 108 special souls up and down the country as an offering to Lord Gauranga. And there's two ways you can get involved. We're going to make this little announcement, and then we'll open it up to questions. The first way, of course, is that if you haven't got a CC set, what are you doing? Go ahead and buy a CC set and open your heart up to the jewels, the gifts of the CC, the very things that Sudha Prabhu was speaking about. One time I heard someone speaking to His Holiness Kadamba Kandanaswamy. He was saying, Maharaj, I'm yet to touch the CC. And Maharaj said, oh, your life is yet to become auspicious. So in this way, we want to really encourage all the devotees to purchase a CC set if they haven't got one. And if they've got one, to consider becoming a gardener, like Lord Chaitanya requested, and seeing how we can distribute these CC sets. So in the chat, I believe a few links will be shared really soon. You can purchase a CC set or gift one to someone that you like or don't like. That'd be nice, Mercy. And sponsor a set also. So all of that information will be revealed via the chat. So please, please, please do consider getting involved. 108 CC sets is a big number, but there are 234 devotees on this chat. So even if less than half of you feel inspired by Sudha Prabhu's talk to get connected with the CC and buy a set or gift a set, then that'll be very, very nice. A beautiful offering we can collectively make for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya, this Gaur Purnim. So please do watch out for the information that's being revealed in the chat. Secondly, we're very, very enthusiastic to announce that later this month, before Gaur Purnim, we're going to be launching part two of this program, Gauranga, the CC and Us Part Two, with another very, very special guest, the details of which will be revealed very, very soon. That's right, lots of Gaurangas in the chat. I've got 72 unread messages in the chat right now. If we can get that to 108 with many thousands of Gaurangas, that'll be very, very nice, create some positive vibrations as we count the days down to Gaur Purnim. So please do get involved and stay tuned for the details. And now I've lost all of the questions in this chat, but what we'll do is we will try and find some and ask Sudha Prabhu some questions for the next 20 minutes or so. Let's see what we've got. Okay, we've got a question from Romney Bajwa. Please, can you expand on service? Which, what type of service? Okay, this was to the latter end of your talk, Prabhu.
So what type of service? That's the
yeah,
question.
Or maybe if Romney, if you're still there, would you be able to unmute yourself and just clarify what you're asking Sridhar Prabhu? Or if Romney wants to just write in the chat, that'd be fantastic, just to clarify what that question was.
Hare Krishna, oh, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Prabhuji, you mentioned the service. You mentioned detachment service, desire, difficulty. But on the service, what type or what sort of service should we be doing?
What sort of service should you be doing? You can, Rasika Rai Prabhu is giving you an option here to distribute CC sets. So that's definitely something you can do.
Jay.
Yes, there are many types of service. There are services that inspire you. You can do those services. There are services that are the need of the day that the devotees ask you to do. Those are also amazing services. There are services which are sometimes very, very difficult, which force you to grow, which force you to become more dependent on Krishna. Those are also amazing services. So if you want to experience the entirety of Krishna consciousness, then undertake services which are inspiring, but also undertake services which are required by the devotees, which are required by the movement, which are required by Srila Prabhupada, and also undertake services which are difficult. Because in that difficulty, you will meet Krishna and you'll feel Krishna's empowerment. So which service you should do? Do services which are inspiring, which are needed, and which ultimately will also force you to grow, difficult services.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Romney. What a wonderful question. I have a question here from Kapil, whose birthday was recently. So let's all send us his blessings, our blessings, rather. He says, the CC is said to be postgraduate literature. Are we really ready to read this?
Yes, the CC is postgraduate literature. The Bhagavad Gita is foundational. Bhagavatam is graduate. CC is postgraduate. Are we ready to read it? Well, if you want to go to the depths of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it's advised that you read Bhagavatam first, and then you go into Chaitanya Charitamrita. However, Srila Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita, and what he expertly did was all of the prior philosophy and other things that one requires, he included that within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So even though it is good generally to read it in order, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, CC, you can also go in here and there and read a chapter here or there. Srila Prabhupada said Chaitanya Charitamrita is the real Bengali sweet. So who can resist a Bengali sweet? You can bite a bit here, a bit there. Especially now, Gaur Purnima is coming. You can read something from Chaitanya Charitamrita, no problem. But yes, generally, when you're going to study the books, then you go in that order that is advised like that.
We have another question here from Rikesh. He says, how would you suggest giving up attachments or conditionings and not being at the will of other people? But at the will of other people, not being kind of so much affected by the potentially unspiritual opinions and ideas of others.
Spiritual life doesn't mean there's no relationship. Spiritual life doesn't mean there's no love or there's no affection. The spiritual life means there is relationship, love and affection and connection, but it's all based on a spiritual principle. So what we have to try to do is in our relationships, introduce a spiritual element. In your relationship with your children, make it spiritual. In your relationship with your friends, try to make it spiritual and try to increase that. And then what you will find is that the relationships, rather than detracting and damaging and diverting you from your spiritual journey, they will begin to nourish and nurture your spirituality. So in Krishna consciousness, it's not just about giving up all of these things, but really what we're also trying to do is spiritualize it as much as possible. And so a lot of the time we can think about that first, because our immediate tendency is sometimes just to throw everything out. However, if we pay a little bit of attention and we're a little bit ingenious in our thinking, then you'll find a lot of the things which you feel to be a barrier, if you relate to those or adjust those things in a different way and spiritualize them, they can actually become a stepping stone rather than a barrier.
Got another question here from Hema. If someone is relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, how can we inspire or entice them to read and relish the CC? How does the CC relate to the Bhagavatam?
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse that the pastimes of Krishna are like sweet nectar and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like camphor. And when they come together, the sweetness increases. So if you're relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, wonderful, continue relishing. Sutta Goswami was relishing, swadu swadu pade pade, every step, more and more sweetness. However, if you go into Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will then come back to the Srimad Bhagavatam and you will find the sweetness enters into another realm. Because the Bhagavad Gita tells you about the words of Krishna. Bhagavatam tells you about the activities of Krishna, but Chaitanya Charitamrita tells you about the mind of Krishna. And when you learn about the mind and the inner workings and the inner thinkings of the Supreme Lord, and then you come back to the Bhagavatam, then it adds a whole nother dimension to your understanding of Krishna, to your understanding of Vrindavan, and to your understanding of what pure, selfless, unalloyed love is. And so all of these shastras work together. It's not either or. By reading one, your relish of the other will increase and vice versa. So that's what I would say.
We've got another question here about the practicality of reading. Shyam Bihari says, how do you manage to find time to read the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and CC in a day when devotees like us work? What would you recommend in terms of how many verses would you read, or would you read it weekly? How would that work?
Okay, do you want the practical answer or the transcendental answer? I mean, the practical answer is that, yeah, okay, you have to regulate it. You have to keep a time in the day when you're reading. You have to try and do it first thing in the morning. You have to try and discuss it with devotees so you can generally understand it better. I give you the five main reasons why people don't read. Number one, they find the books too hard. Number two, the amount of books is too many. It's intimidating. B, when they read the books, three, they get bored. They won't say it, but they get bored. They feel bored when they read it. I've got an acronym in my head. So the next one is inattention. People just don't have the concentration to sit down and read a book. And then the final reason why people don't read is they don't have time. So actually, if you look at these five main obstacles which stop people from reading, then there's actually very practical things you could do to overcome them. The books are not hard if you take guidance and if you take help from Vaishnavas. The books are not too many to read because, to be honest, if you read a certain number of pages every single day, you'll be shocked how fast you can get through the books. Someone may say the books are boring, but they're boring because we don't apply them. If I gave you a recipe book and I told you, here's a recipe book, read it. Okay, read it again. Okay, read it again. How many times are you going to read a recipe book? You're going to get frustrated because ultimately you got to take the recipe book and you got to make something. And when you take a recipe book and you make something, you know what? Those recipe book lasts 20, 30, 40 years. I've seen even in the kitchen downstairs, there's a recipe book from 30 years ago because it works. And therefore people keep looking at it again and again. So if we don't apply it, then we'll find it boring because it will simply be theoretical. People say, I don't have time. You can come out with all the excuses why you shouldn't, you can't do it. Or you can come out with all the reasons why you have to do it. The choice is yours. And this will lead to my final point. Ultimately, we just have to fall in love with the books. We actually just have to develop a taste. We actually have to begin to relish the sweetness of what's available in these books, and then these questions won't even come up. And then obviously you're going to tell me, yeah, but in order for me to get there, I need time. I need all of these things. Yeah, so anyway, we have to work it out. But ultimately, we have to realize that our taste for reading these books is ultimately our greatest wealth in life, because this is what is going to really bring you closer to Krishna. And this is what is really going to purify the heart. And this is what is going to help you transcend beyond all the other material things around us, which hijack our consciousness. So somehow or other, we have to become absorbed in Krishna. And the only way to do it is if we become absorbed in the Shastra, which is the words, activities, and the mind of God.
What a response. Thank you, Siddha Prabhu. And now turning to what you were sharing in your talk, Karan's got a question. He says, what can one do when we find ourselves becoming proud? How do we minimize pride and increase humility?
How do we deal with pride when pride comes? On a practical level, we have to make sure that we have things in place to protect us. Do you have devotees in place who are giving you feedback? Do you have, certain things that you do which help you to stay humble, like menial service and other things like that? Make practical situations which will help you to cultivate a humble state of mind. Then beyond that, one must always be very, very prayerful. One must always be praying. As Prabhupada once said, I will never fall down, he said in the class. And then after the class, he was in front of Krishna praying. And then a devotee said to Prabhupada, what were you praying for? Prabhupada said, I was praying that I never fall down. Devotee said, but Prabhupada, in the class you said you will never fall down. And Prabhupada said, I will never fall down, because I'm always praying that I may never fall down. So prayer and a prayerful approach has to become part of our spiritual life. So to overcome pride, make practical arrangements, develop a prayerful attitude in which one is always cultivating a mood of humility. And then ultimately, we have to develop a closeness with Krishna. You see, when you look at a mountain from far away, it looks big. But when you get closer and closer to the mountain becomes bigger and bigger. And in relation to the mountain that you can see now, which is becoming bigger and bigger, you end up automatically feeling smaller and smaller. So when you actually get close to Krishna, when you realize how amazing Krishna is, when you begin to grasp the glories of Krishna, then you won't have to pray to not become proud. You will automatically feel yourself to be more and more insignificant and incapable of appropriately reciprocating with Krishna. And so ultimately one has to come closer to Krishna, and then one will become automatically humble.
Got one more question from Prashant Prabhu. He says, how can we show Krishna we're detached from our plans?
How can we show Krishna that we are detached from our plans? By opening up ourselves to hear the messages of Krishna. And not only opening up ourselves to hear the messages of Krishna, but to be willing to embrace them when they come. Here we had Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami who got a dream. Maybe we're not on that level that we see Krishna in dreams or Nityananda in dreams. But through the devotees, many, many plans of Krishna are coming to us. But are we able to hear the voice of the devotees guiding us and revealing to us Krishna's plan? Are we able to hear it with an open heart? Are we then able to follow it with full willingness? Then you demonstrate to Krishna that you're ready. You're ready to make a change. But if we don't show Krishna that we're ready to hear his messages, then we won't be able to convince Krishna that we're detached from our plans. And therefore, Krishna will become more reticent about coming into our life and trying to show us his plans. So the more we show Krishna through being flexible and responsive to the messages of Krishna wanting us to change, then we'll be perceiving Krishna's messages in a more clear and powerful way in our life.
Thank you. And we also have a question from Anna Maria Mataji. She's asking, could you please expand more on how to give our heart to a great devotee, especially if we're new on this journey? How do you identify the right devotee?
Yeah, giving your heart to someone is not something you can intellectualize. Sorry, can you just give me like 10 seconds? I'm just going to run over to the other side and turn the light on because I think it's getting really dark. You can tell a joke while I come back.
It's really appropriate because it said that Lord Gauranga and Lord Nishananda, they're like the sun and the moon, and they've come to dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. So some of that in great.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so how do you give your heart to a... My God, there's like the Brahma Jyoti behind me now. Okay, I hope it's not too intense. Giving your heart to a Vaishnava is not something we can intellectualize. Giving our heart to a Vaishnava is something we can pray for. And then ultimately, it will happen in its own natural way. How do we identify who is such a devotee? Therefore, if you read the Shastra, then in the Bhagavad Gita, for example, Krishna is so many times giving us what are the qualities of a self-realized soul. Arjun asks in the second chapter, how do I know who's a self-realized soul? How do they walk? How do they talk? How do they speak? How do they react to the events of life? And Krishna is giving many, many different answers. And so Krishna gives us a reference point. Who is a divine person? Abhayam sadvasam sudhir jnana yoga vyavastiti danam damascha yagyascha svadhyayastapa arjavam Ahimsa satyam akrodas tyagakshantera paishanam, like this. He goes on. They're non-violent, they're renounced, they're truthful, they're compassionate. Very clearly observable symptoms of a saintly person. So one must desire to meet a saint. And one must desire that Krishna, when I meet a saint, please allow me to recognize that saint. And then we must pray, Krishna, when I recognize that saint, Give me the determination to fully serve them and understand them and hear from them. And then through those things, naturally one's heart will be conquered. And so we must invest in relationships. And through those relationships with the saintly souls, Krishna's messages come through clearly.
Thank you, Siddha Prabhu, and thank you to all the devotees for your wonderful and engaging questions. I know there's a few more questions, but for the interest of keeping to time, we're going